Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
I've been talking about prayer. These past 2 weeks we've been focusing on prayer and what is prayer and why do we pray. We started off with the first reason why we pray is because God loves us and we love God. And because we are so quick to say as Christians, and that is so true, Christianity is different to all the other religions. We're so quick to say that Christianity is not a religion but a relationship. And we say that because unlike other religions, our hope is not in what we can do or what we can earn or what we can achieve through our good works. Our hope is in what God has done for us through His Son. And that we can have a relationship with Him. Not based on works, but on faith. Faith in what He has done for us. But a relationship without communication is dead. So the reason we pray is because we have a relationship. And in any relationship, there is communication. But communication also has a two-way response, a two-way reality. It's not just that we speak to God, but that God speaks to us. So one of the reasons we pray is not just to speak to God, but is for God to speak to us. So I want to share a little bit around that thought, that communication, prayer is not just a one-way thing. Prayer is a two-way thing. So the second reason we pray is because God speaks to us. And I want us to explore that a little bit further here in John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I mean, one of the basic principles of this relationship with God is that God is alive, He is real, and He loves us, and He speaks. It's not a dead statue. It's not an empty philosophy. It's a reality. And God speaks. So we pray to hear God's voice. We also pray to hear God's thoughts. And we also pray to hear God's will. Which one of those three do you think is the most important for us? What is most important when we pray? Would it be to hear His voice, to know His thoughts, or to know His will? If you have to choose between the three, if you have to choose just one, which one do you think would be the most significant? It's God's will. Isn't that true? I mean, we all want to know God's will for our life. We want to know God's will for our future. We want to know God's will in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the challenges. We call out to God to hear not just His voice, not just His thoughts, but to know His will. God, what must I do? How must I do? God, show me Your will. Show me Your way. God, I want to know Your will. Why is that so important for us to know His will? You know, Naomi shared a testimony. Thanks, Naomi, for that. She shared a testimony about our sons. And in the midst of that testimony, somewhere she said to a child, a son, "But I know God has a plan for your life." Don't we always say that? And we know that. But what is that plan? What is that will God has for your life? It's probably one of the most important questions we need to ask ourselves. And for that matter, we need to ask God, "God, what is Your will?" Why is that so important? Well, Jeremiah 29 says that. We know it so well. I want to declare to you, God has a will for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And one of the reasons we pray is because the will of God is good and it's perfect. One of the reasons we want to know this will of God is because in God's perfect will, there is fullness of life. There is assurance. There is hope. There is victory. And ultimately, eternal life. God speaks here through the prophet Jeremiah. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future." Now, who wants that? Well, we all want that. And that's why we pray. We pray to hear God's will for our lives. It's one of the powerful reasons I pray. God remains faithful. I mean, it was also mentioned here in Romans 28. We know it so well. It says, sorry, I don't have it here. "And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose." I want to be there. That's where I want to be. I want to be in the center of God's will. I don't want to stray from God's will. Because I don't know what's outside of God's will. I can look at this world and I can see what happens to this world and I can see what sin did to this world. I can see what destruction, what hurt and what pain there is outside. I can see that very clearly. I don't want to be there. And sometimes even within God's will, we go through there. But I want to be where God is. I want to be in His will. Because there is hope. There is life. Ephesians 5 verse 15 to 17 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand the will of the Lord." Understand the will of the Lord. Because the days are evil. They are dark. So don't be foolish, but understand. In other words, the Word of God says, not only does God have a will for us, we can understand it. We can know it. We can know. As a matter of fact, God says you are foolish if you do not know it. Because of the life that you live in, just open your eyes and see what's happening all around you. We are very foolish to go through this life without knowing God's will. Hebrews 10 says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." This is where I want to be. I want to be there where I not just know and understand God's will, but I'm doing it. Because in there is great reward, there is great promise in doing God's will. To walk in God's will for our lives is the most important thing in this life. It might also be the most challenging thing in this life. Make no mistake about it. Christianity is not for sissies. It's not easy to walk where Jesus goes, but He always leads to life. It is also the most fulfilling thing. God's will is perfect. That is where I want to be. But sometimes when we pray, coming back to prayer in this context, sometimes when we pray to God, we do all the talking. I don't know if you've noticed. We do all the talking. I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation where the other person speaks all the time. Everybody been in a conversation like that before? You kind of ask, you start the conversation by, "How are you?" And then they just go. And you don't have a chance to say anything. They just keep on telling you how it's going. And you get so tired because they just don't give you a gap. You can't even interact. You can't even stop. You're waiting for a pause where you can react, but they just keep on talking. And then finally they say, "Hey, I've got to go now." And you just say, "Bye. Nice chatting to you." Sometimes we talk to God like that. Most of our prayers go like that. We talk. We start off by saying, "Our Father, Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit," and then we just go. And when we've said everything that we wanted to say, we even counsel God,
how he must, if you noticed, it's not God, this is what I need, but God, this is what I want you to do. It's like, God, I have a crisis here. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I have a crisis here. Let me explain to you my crisis. In great detail, I will explain to God my crisis. And then I will tell God, now, what you ought to do, God, is sort this guy out, do this, do that. And you know what's best of all? After we have spoken to God and we have counseled God, then we end our prayers. How do we end our prayers? Who have you noticed? I mean, you're all Christians here, I hope. Who of you haven't prayed yet? Okay, how do you end your prayer? What's the last word? Amen! Yeah, Pastor Angus, no. Amen! Yeah. He actually does it better. But anyway, we end it with amen. So we do all the talking, and then we counsel God, and then we end it with amen. What does amen mean? So be it! So God, this is my problem, this is what you need to do, and so be it. Cheers, bye! Have you noticed? I mean, so many times this is what we do. We do all the talking, we do all the explaining, and we give the counsel, and then we say, so be it. Cheers. Anyway. We talk, we give the counsel, and then we say, so be it. You know what? It's very interesting if you study the prayers in the Bible. I haven't yet found one that ends with amen. I haven't. There's one in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. It ends with amen. But if you look at the early manuscripts, it's not there. Somebody thought it wise to add it. Maybe because that's what they did. So somebody, and in Luke, you'll find it's not there. But in Matthew, somebody decided. The early manuscripts is not there. But so yes, there's one prayer that I found that ends with amen. But actually, all the other prayers, you can have a look. They don't end with amen. They actually end in silence. They end in silence. Because I make my request known to God and then I'm silent. Because I'm waiting for God to respond. I'm not ending my time with God as I've laid my requests and even my counsel before Him and leave. I actually make them known and then I'm silent. You can check it in the Bible. Please help me find praise that ends with amen. They don't. End in silence because God speaks when we are silent. God does not interrupt us. He's a gentleman. Yeah, I struggle with that. Hallelujah. I interrupt people all the time. Please forgive me when I do that. I really try not to. I must learn to be more like God, who just listens. And then He waits for His turn. But most of the time, we leave before we give Him time. Prayer should be, God, this is my concern. What is your thoughts? What is your counsel? How should I deal with this? God, what is your will for me? And then we should maybe just wait. You know, God speaks mostly to us in silence, or should I say, when we are silent. It's the one thing we struggle with in our modern age. It's silence. We don't know what to do with silence. You know, at the moment everything is silent, we put on the TV, put on the radio, grab out the phone, surf the internet, WhatsApp, Facebook. I mean,
mean, we don't know what to do with silence. Yet it's in silence that God speaks. Isn't it interesting why the world has become so busy and so loud and advertising and Wi-Fi and, I don't know, everything. I mean, you can't even go home anymore without the phone ringing all the time and emails coming through all the time. There's constant talking and communication happening all the time. It keeps us so busy that we don't know what to do with silence anymore, yet it is in silence when God speaks to us, or more specifically when we are silent, that God speaks. What do we call it again when we come together alone just to speak to God? Call it our... Oh, I don't know who thought it out. It is so... amazing. Think of it. A quiet time. I hope what I'm sharing is not amazing to you. Sometimes people tell me that this is such an amazing sermon. I think, no, it can't be. I mean, we've been calling it for centuries a quiet time. It is what it is. It's time where I become still. So that I can hear God speak. It's not a speaking time or a reading time, although speaking and reading is part of the quiet time, but ultimately what defines this time between me and God is silence. So that I can hear Him speak to me as I come to Him. That's really what it's about. It's about seeking His face, His thoughts, His heart, His will. Not just mine, not just sharing my heart, my thoughts, my fears and concerns, but God, what is your thoughts? I mean, how many of us have gone into God's presence just to ask God, how are you doing today? I mean, what is on your mind, Father? Sometimes God gets frustrated. I don't know if you've noticed. Sometimes God is hurt. Sometimes He's grieved. You know, I have a friend that's going through a tough time, and every time we phone her, she never even stops to ask how we're doing. And she does it to everybody. And everybody, and it's been so sad because everybody has noticed that they all say the same thing. She keeps on telling us about all her pain, and she never even asks us about how we are doing. And I've realized so many times we go to God and we share with Him all our hurts and all our frustrations, and we never ask Him, God, so what's on your mind? I mean, how are you doing? What is your thoughts and your heart? What is your passion? What is your concern? One thing we struggle with in this modern age is silence, because that's where God speaks. In 1 Kings 19, we know it so well. Then the Lord said, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. It was mentioned earlier by someone. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind and an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it. He wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? It wasn't in the noise, it wasn't in the storm, it wasn't in the thunder. It was in the silence that God spoke to the prophet. This still small voice in Hebrews 11, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God, but he who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, if I've realized one of our biggest challenges is this silence, this diligence to seek God. It's
not diligence in works, but diligence in seeking Him. Diligence in being in Him. This diligence of being in Him, being in His presence, being in communion with Him. You know, we are so quick to say it's not about doing, it's about being. But most people that say that don't have a cooking clue what it means, because you can see in their works they are not with Him. They're quick to say it's not about doing, it's about being. But being is being with Jesus. And I can see if you're with Jesus or not by the works you do. And so many people say they are with Jesus, but they're being, but they're not being with Jesus. They're being with themselves. They're being in the flesh. And that's why you see it in their lives. Because they're not being with Jesus. They're absolutely right. It's not about doing. It is about being, but it's being with Jesus. And if you're with Jesus, you will change. It's humbling to be silent before God, to wait for Him, I've realized. But I make my request known to Him and I have to wait. I have to wait. I've got to wait and listen. I mean, God, I don't have a lot of time here. You know, I've made my request known. Can we speed this up somehow? I mean, I've got important things to do here. I've got people to see. I've got a diary full. You know, the thing about waiting on God is it's humbling. All of a sudden, puts everything in perspective. I mean, you are God, eternal, almighty, all powerful. I'm nothing. And yet you love me. It's amazing. But it's humbling to wait on God. But somehow it puts it in perspective. Somehow when I silence, and you know what? That silence is not just... Sometimes I come into God's presence and just so many things are going through my mind. I just have so many things I'm thinking about. Things that happened, things that still must happen. And I want to talk to God, and I've realized this waiting helps me just to clear my mind. Of all the things that's... I don't know if some of you struggle to pray because you just start to pray and then your mind wanders, if you notice that. And it's just so many things going on. What I love about this waiting on God, it gives me an opportunity just for my mind to switch off. Close all the files. I'm speaking to God. I'm waiting for Him to speak to me. And it somehow quiets my mind and my soul as I come before Him and I just start to wait. I've realized that all of a sudden, as I wait upon Him, I come to the realization that He is the ultimate. I'm not. And as the longer I wait upon Him, I realize He is the center of focus. I'm not. And it's in that place where I can become silent before God, when I switch off all the files and all the systems that's running and all my requests and all my desires and all my needs. And after I made it even known to God, it's good to do that. God says, come to me with all your concerns and all your worries. After I've done all that, I come to a point where I realize it's not really about me. It is about you. I want to know you. And I want to know your will. This is what I would like and how I see things and how I would things like. But God, what I actually want to know is you. I want to know you. I want to know your... I want to know your thoughts and your ways. Because I believe they have life. Hebrews 4 verse 11 says, therefore, be diligent
to enter that rest. The context speaks about ceasing from works, but to enter in Christ, to enter to this place where we are in Him, that's where we find our rest. Isn't that amazing? When you come to that place where all my fears and concerns are in perspective to who He is and His faithfulness and His character, like the woman shared, then all of a sudden peace comes when He becomes the center. Then all these things become peripheral and insignificant in the context of who God is. And it's in that place where I've quieted myself from all my worry and my concern, and I'm actually focusing on Him, where I find God speaks to me the most. And that's really what we all want to know. We want to know God's voice. We want to know God's will. We want to know God's counsel. We want to know His thoughts for us, because His plans for us is good. And there's nothing more fulfilling in this life when God does speak to us in such a clear, undeniable way that we know God is speaking. You know that when He speaks to you. And if you have not yet discovered that, wait for next week. We'll talk more about that. But there's nothing more rewarding. There's nothing more peaceful than that. There's nothing more exciting than that. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." So powerful. In the midst of all my turmoil, everything. Be still and know that I am God. I am God. And then it goes on and it says, "I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth." Then I've realized, you know what, prayer is not really so much about me. It is about you. Prayer is about God. And it's in that place where He becomes the center and the ultimate and the desire of my heart to know Him, where He speaks to me the most. I shared 2 weeks ago the average prayer recorded in the New Testament that is recorded for us as an example. The average prayer in the New Testament is 40 words long. 40.7 words. You can count them. All the prayers in the New Testament. The average length of the prayer in the New Testament is 40 words. That's less than a minute. But when we start waiting on God, seeking His face, seeking His will, our quiet time becomes longer. Our prayers become shorter and our quiet time becomes longer. When God becomes the center and the ultimate of our pursuit, my prayers become shorter and my quiet time longer. Because it's not about what I am saying as much as it is about what He is saying. I want to know what you say, God. Because the Bible is full of it. He says, God knows what you need even before you ask Him. We ask Him because He said we must. But we don't need to explain to Him the finest detail. He knows. The reason we come to Him is because He wants to speak to us. He wants to guide us. So I want to encourage you. When we pray, are we trying to counsel God or are we seeking His counsel? Are we praying for our will to be done or are we praying for His will to be done? Because there's a big difference between the two I've discovered. There's a major difference between the two, and it's amazing how life-giving His purpose and His counsel and His will is in comparison to what I thought it should be and must be and will be. James 4 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasure. Sometimes we just plain ask the wrong things.
And after we've asked the wrong season, so be it.
But if we start to ask God for His will and His glory, John also says, and whatever you ask, Jesus says in John, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son.
This is, you know, we sometimes miss this. We get so excited, but we miss this. Who is glorified? The Father is glorified. And in whose name am I praying? In His name. It is from this place of being in Him that I speak to the Father, and the Father is glorified in the answer to my prayer. I'm not the one that's glorified. I'm not the one that's full. You get the picture. Later on, He says, if you abide in me, My words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. If I abide in you, and you abide in me. If you come to that place where I am the center and I abide in you, and my words, they abide in you. We know this word abide. It's more than just being together. It becomes the most precious thing, the most important thing. When I am the most important thing in your life and my words is the most important thing in your life, you will ask what you desire. You know what? Why? Because if God becomes the most important thing, the center of your life, and His words becomes the most important and center thing in your life, your desires will change. Your desires will become His desires. And your words and your thoughts will become His words and thoughts. And God says, that will be done for you. And you will no longer ask and ask amiss, but you will ask according to my will, and it will be done for you. And this is really the secret of being in Him changes the way and what I ask for. And this is so powerful. I've discovered this. And it changed my prayer life because my prayers became shorter, my quiet time becomes longer, and my fulfillment and my answer to prayers become so much more frequent. And quite frankly, exciting. It is when I seek Him that I hear Him the most and my prayers are answered the most. I'm going to ask the band to come forward. You know, there's a scripture that says, which we know so well, ask and it will be. Seek, knock. You know why I'm asking God things in prayer? Because I don't know the answer. So I humble myself before God and I ask Him. I don't tell Him, I don't counsel Him, I don't direct Him, I ask Him. You know why I seek Him? It's because I don't know the answer. So I seek Him, and you know why I knock? Because I don't have the ability to open. But when I seek Him, when I ask Him, and when I knock, He answers. And He provides and He opens. When He becomes the center. And that's why we pray. And I want to challenge you this week, when you have quiet time, pray shorter. And be quiet longer. And allow Him to speak to you. Allow Him to speak to you. Because He does all the time. It's just, we are just so busy that we don't hear Him speak to us. Or we leave even before He can. We declare it to be so and we leave without giving an opportunity to say a word.
I want to encourage you to discover this adventure with him. I want to ask the ushers. We're going to have communion and we're going to have an opportunity just to be quiet before him. So if the ushers can come forward, and I'm going to pray. We're going to hand out the communion, and as we receive, please wait for each other. Let's not partake on our own, but let's wait for each other. And then I'm going to pray over communion, and we're going to partake in that what God has given us, through his Son, which is life. And to seek and to knock. So just where you're at, as the elements are being handed out, make your requests known to God. Make your circumstances known to God. It doesn't need to take long. You can do it in 40 words. You can ask God. You can seek for an answer or a door to be opened. You can come into his presence because he's almighty, all-powerful, and nothing is impossible for him. And you can ask him, knowing that he loves you, and you can wait for an answer. You can wait on him. You can wait on him. I want to encourage you, have quiet time. But don't spend it all in prayer. Spend it in listening. And if it's too distracted in your house, you've got kids. You know what? I love having my quiet time early in the morning because everybody is silent. Even the dog sleeps. If that doesn't work for you, go into nature. And speak to God in 40 words. And wait upon him. If you can pray in tongues, just praying tongues until you experience his presence. Just go sit on a rock, pray in tongues, just wait until you experience his presence and speak to him in 40 words or less and wait upon him. Take your Bible along and you'll be amazed what he says to you. When he answers you, or he gives to you, or he opens to you, your prayer life will never be the same. Father, we want to thank you that you have given us your Son, that we might have life. You tore the veil. That separated us. That prevented us to come into your presence. You tore it from top to bottom. And you declared that we are welcome in your presence. That you have accepted us, that this sacrifice of your Son is sufficient, it's enough, it has made us holy to enter into your presence, to come before you without fear of judgment, but only in awe of who you are. That we can come to you, who know our needs, that knows the number of hairs on our head, that has counted them, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your will. You know everything, and we can come into your presence. Make our requests known to you, but more than that, we can come into your presence to know you, to hear your voice, and to understand your will. God, I want to pray this morning, God, that we will start to pursue you more than anything else in this life, that we may know you, we may know your will, and understand it and live it. Because in it we will find life, we will find fulfillment, we will find joy indescribable and peace that cannot be described when we're in that place. It's like being in the center of the storm. The world around us is falling apart, but in God's will there is absolute peace.
God, I pray for that. I want to give you an opportunity just where you are. Just make your request known to God. Ask Him, seek Him, knock, whatever it may be. Father, hear our prayer. As we ask and we seek and we knock, thank you, Father, for saying. Thank you for speaking. Thank you for giving us an answer. Thank you for answering all the prayers here this morning. Since you are saying it is so close, it is my son. The answer to what you are asking for, that what you're seeking for, the door that needs to be opened, it's my son. It's his sacrifice. It's his body that was broken for you. It's his blood that was spilt for you. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you, God, for answering us, for giving to us and opening to us. It's in your Son. It's where it begins. It's where it will end. It's in you. Lord, so we thank you for giving us your Son, Lord. We thank you, God, for becoming one of us, humbling yourself, Lord, to become sinful man. You took upon all our sin, Lord. You lived a holy life, and then you became sin. You took all the sin of humanity upon yourself, and you faced the Father so that the judgment and the consequence and the guilt could be dealt with once and for all in you. You took our punishment. You took our shame that we deserved, Lord. And we want to thank you, God, that you took our punishment so that we don't have to be punished anymore. And Lord, as we take this bread, we eat it, and we thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. In Jesus' name, let's eat together. You are our bread, you are our substance, you are our life. We thank you for this, Lord. We thank you for your blood that was shed for us, Lord, that washes us clean. It washes us clean, Lord. It washes us clean. It gives us a new beginning every single day. It's a new day. Lord, we want to thank you for this. We want to thank you, Lord, that in your blood there is life, everlasting life. It cleanses us. It heals us. It provides for us. And everything that we need, Lord, we want to thank you for your blood. Lord, as we drink this cup, Lord, we drink you and your purposes and your will and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. Thank you, Father, that it's in your Son and in his relationship with him, Lord, that we will have everything that we ask for, everything that we seek for, and every door that needs to be opened. It's in you. God, I pray that as we come into your presence to pray, that we'll make time to listen to you. Because only you have the words of eternal life. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. If you're in need of prayer, and there's things that you are struggling through and you want somebody to agree with you, there's power in agreement. We're going to pray with you. So if you have any prayer needs, I'm going to be here for a while. Next week we're going to continue. Just how do we hear God's voice? How does he speak to us? That we can understand him. So that we can grow in him. Amen. Have a great week. And remember to pray. And join us on Tuesday mornings. 6 o'clock here at the office, Sunday mornings, 45 minutes before the church service, and every weekday in your secret place, just you and God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.